And we just thank you, Father, for everyone that's present here today. I thank you, Father, for everyone that's watching the live stream. And I pray, Father God, that they will be blessed by your word here today. As a matter of fact, I pray that they will have open ears to hear your word and an open heart to receive your word. Because we know that your word would never return to you void. It is powerful, it is living, it is eternal. And so, Father, we give you the glory for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your anointing and your call upon me to minister your word. Father, I stand before you, before your glory, speak through me. Use me today for your glory. And Father, we'll forever bless your name for all that you are, all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, I'm going to be ministering on what I believe is a very, very important subject. And I had mentioned it to you a couple of times before that we would be going in this direction. And I want to talk about the tithe question. Now, it's been all over television, all over YouTube, Facebook, and folks been debating, do I tithe? Don't I tithe? Is tithing for today? Or has tithing been done away with? Some preach that it has been done away with. It's no longer relevant for Christians today. Some says that tithing was under the law, the Mosaic law, and that we are now under grace. So tithing does not apply to us today. I'm not saying that. That's what some say. Okay? I believe in the tithe. And I believe that tithing is for today. Amen. But it's not important what I believe. What is important is what the Word of God says. Amen. Amen. And that's the reason we always need to go back to the Word. What does the Word of God say? You know, the Bible tells us that we are to rightly divide the Word of truth. Now, that tells me right up front that if we have to rightly divide God's word, that also means that it can be wrongly divided. Amen. So, like I say, not all, but some are preaching and teaching that the tithe was restricted to the Mosaic law. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that's the case at all. And I was rather curious myself why is the body of Christ having this debate now? Why is that an issue now? If there's anything that the devil loves to do is cause confusion, bring division. If he can keep us fighting and fussing and with one another, he can keep on doing what he's doing and we'll never notice because we're too busy fighting with one another, arguing with one another, debating with one another. We just need to stay with the Word of God, do what he says do. Amen. Now let me say this to you, and I think you know this already. Our God is a giver. He is a giver. He loved mankind so much that he prepared him a garden to dwell in, called the Garden of Eden. Placed him there, and man had everything he needed. Absolutely everything. He was not lacking in anything. So all, of course, you know, Adam was the first person to be created. So God just told him, tend the garden, enjoy the garden. And God said, you and I fellowship together. And now we won't go back to Genesis because it'll take too long, but even after Adam fell, God came looking for him. Because God loved fellowshipping with his creation. God loves giving to his creation. And even after the fall of man, God in his great love, and we see this in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, says, for God so loved the world. I mean, he looked down on this world, on this earth, and it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. Satan was running things. But God still loved his creation, even though they were in a fallen state. And God loved us so much that he sent us the very best he had. And notice, he didn't send us one of the angels. He sent us his son. Yeah. One like himself. Yeah. He sent his son to suffer, down the cross, all because he loved us in our fallen state. He loved us in our sinful state. And what did he do? He gave. He gave. You still with me? And God's been giving. He continues to give. How many of you know you're blessed? Amen. We bless. Why? Because God is constantly giving to us. Constantly. All the time. He's giving to us. And I know what some people think sometimes. Well, I don't have everything I need. We don't have food in the refrigerator. I can't pay my light bill. I can't do this. I can't do that. Let me tell you something. God is still giving to you. And can I make another statement? If you'll work with him, you'll get your bills paid. If you work with him, you'll eat.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So now, as I said earlier, it's being taught by some, thank God not all, but being taught by some that the tithe is limited to the Mosaic law, and when Jesus came, grace came, tithing was done away with. And by the way, let me explain, when I say tithe, some people may not know what that tithe means. Tenth, one tenth. Tithe means one tenth of your income. And under the Mosaic law, the law required that the people give one-tenth of their income. Okay, and we'll talk some more about that later on. But that's what tithe means, one-tenth. But I want to tell you something, that tithing was before the law. You hear me? Tithing was before the law. Now, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. I said that tithing is before the law, or was before the law. How many of you ever heard of a man by the name of Abraham? Hallelujah. Abraham. Abraham was before the law. And Abraham was a tither. So you have Hebrews chapter 7. I'll just pick it up. I'll begin reading at verse 1. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a what?" Now, let's stop right there just a moment. Why do you reckon Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all? Why not a twelfth? Why not 5%? The Bible specifically says Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth part of all. And notice he says of all. Abraham didn't hold back, did he? Now, let's read on. "First being translated, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem," meaning king of peace, talking about Melchizedek here. Verse 3, "without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God," hallelujah, "remaining a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. The lesser always tithe to the greater." Amen. And we see this Melchizedek was a high priest. As a matter of fact, it is believed by many that Melchizedek was the pre-incarnated Christ himself. Amen. And while we're on this, let's go flip back to the 14th chapter of Genesis. And this is, of course, is what Hebrews 7 is referring back to, but I just want to read it from the book of Genesis. And remember, Abraham went out, fought a battle, and he won. They took the spoils. And I'll pick it up again here at verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now, don't forget that. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, which means king of peace, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High, of God Most High. He blessed him. What did he do? He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he being Abram, gave him a tithe of all, or a tenth of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich." Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That tells you right there, brothers and sisters, our blessings come from the Lord. Our blessings come from the Lord. Abraham said, "I receive from God Most High. I honor the Lord. I honor the Lord my God. I have given him a tenth of all, because he is the one that blesses me, not the king of Sodom or anyone else. My blessings come from the Lord. Your blessings come from the Lord. If you're living for God, trusting God, giving to God, tithing, God is committed to blessing your life. Sometime you ought to tell God, "Lord, I just thank you that your blessings are running me down. Your blessings are catching up with me." Amen. So we see that Abraham gave, he was called Abram at that time. God later changed his name to Abraham. But Abraham gave a tenth, a tithe to Melchizedek. And like I said, where did he get that figure from? I think I know the answer to that. I don't think Abraham sat down and says, "Now, Melchizedek, the high priest, has arrived with bread and wine for me to drink and eat. I think I give him 10%. No. He got that from heaven. He got that from God himself. That's not a man thing. That is a God thing. Are you still with me? And we see in verse 18 of Genesis 14 that Melchizedek brought bread and wine. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that remind you of anything? Now remember, Abraham was before the law. Abraham was before the law. Abraham received bread and he received wine from the high priest. Priest unto God, Melchizedek. Well, turn in your Bible, let's go back to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And of course, we find this same situation right here. We find it in the Gospels also, but I'm just going to read from 1 Corinthians. Listen at this. Look at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And the writer here, which was the Apostle Paul, says, for I have, I like the way he said this, for I have received from the Lord. By the way, when Jesus was seated with the 12 at the Last Supper, when they had the bread and the wine, Paul was not there. The Apostle Paul was not there. Matter of fact, during that time, he wasn't even called Paul. He was Saul. He wasn't there. He wasn't among the 12. But he says in verse 23, for I received from the Lord. So the Lord revealed to him what had taken place at the Last Supper. For I received of the Lord that which I also, what? Delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What did Abraham do before the law? He ate the bread. Hallelujah. How many of you know Abraham was a covenant man? How many of you know we have a covenant with God through Christ Jesus? We are covenant people. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new what? What? Well, if you have the King James original, King James version, it's going to say New Testament. I'm reading from the New King James. If you're reading from the original King James, it's going to say New Testament. In the New King James, it says New Covenant. Same thing. This cup is the New Covenant or New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Hallelujah. Every time we partake of the elements, every time that we have the Lord's Supper, whether it's cooperatively as a church or whether you do it privately in your home, and by the way, you can do it privately in your home, amen? Husbands and wives can have communion together. Families can have communion together, the Lord's Supper together. Why? Because you are remembering that I have a covenant with God. I am remembering that God is everything I need. I am remembering that Jesus gave his body. He shed his blood. He was the chosen Lamb of God. And he died, he bled and he died for you and I. And we are never, ever, ever to forget that. But the stripes that was placed on his body and the blood that was shed from his body gave us everything that we need or that we will ever need. Why? Because broken body of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about, when I say broken, I'm talking about the stripes on his back. None of his bones was broken. And the shed blood of Jesus. As we receive him by faith and believe on him, that brings us into the family of God. Now we are dealing with a whole different situation. Oh, now we're looking at a whole different set of circumstances. Once I was outside of the covenant, I was outside of Christ, but now because of his shed blood, I am in Christ. I am one of the family members. I am one of the sons of God. Jesus Christ being my elder brother. Somebody say amen if you will, please. Jesus Christ being my elder brother, and that gives me certain rights that I didn't have before. It places me in a position that I wasn't in before. Glory be to God. Melchizedek, the high priest, brought the bread and the wine to Abraham. God was cutting a covenant with Abraham. And later on, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Oh, you're still here. Now, we have to understand that now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Abraham was a man of faith. And we are people of faith. Don't forget this. The Mosaic law was given well over 400 years after Abraham. And I find it mighty interesting that there's another fella that gave tithes to God before the law that the Bible records. His name was Jacob, Abraham's grandson, Isaac's son, again before the law. So the tithe carried on through the law, but the tithe was not bound by the law or restricted to the law. Tithe was before the law, and the tithe is after the law, and the tithe was during the law. It's a God thing. Do you know? Well, let's just move on, because I want you to see something here. Y'all getting anything yet? I want you to see something here. I told you, and by the way, Jacob can be found in Genesis chapter 28. Chapter 28. Especially around 18. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go there right quick, and then we'll come back. Genesis chapter 28. Now remember, folks, all of this is before the Mosaic Law. And let me tell you something before I read Jacob here. I'll tell you where to go in a minute. It's chapter 28, but I'll tell you what verse in a minute. But the devil would love to get the believers fighting over money, what you should or should not do with it. Because money gets everybody's attention. No wonder Jesus made this statement. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. You'll love one and hate the other. This is the reason that the Bible says, hear me good, because I've heard people misquote this. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. It says the love of it is. Everybody needs some money. Right? Everybody needs some money. If you're going to put gas in your car, you need lots of money. If you need clothes, you got to have some money. Come time to pay your electric bill, guess what it's going to take? They want money. Now, you may give them your debit card or however you pay your bills, but it's still going to come out of your account. Because they want money. Money is very important. And I want to make this statement. Money in itself is not evil. Let me repeat this. Money in itself is not evil. It's how it is used. Because the very $20 bill, $100 bill, whatever, that's given in churches, which is a good thing, amen, when it's given to the Lord, right? That's a good thing. But that same 20 or that same 100, 50, whatever, may have been in a drug deal week before. When you give to the Lord, that's good use of money. When you're buying drugs, that's what? Bad. But it's not the money's fault. It's how it's being used. Glory to God. So when you get folks fussing and arguing over money and what you got to do with it, that's exactly, you just, we listen, as believers, we got to be wise that we don't play right into the hands of the devil. That he doesn't cause us to be distracted. Let's just go and do what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says. All right, you still here? Genesis chapter 28. I just wanted to show you Jacob here. Let me see. Genesis 28. I'll just begin reading. This is a wonderful chapter here. But I'll just begin reading at verse 18 for the sake of time. Then Jacob rose early in the morning. And I would recommend you go back in your study time and read the whole chapter here. But then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made, listen to this, then Jacob made a vow, saying, God, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and listen to this, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. You listening to me? This was before the Mosaic law, folks. So that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Verse 22. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, now this is Jacob, and of all that you give me, I will surely give what? A tenth to you. You reckon he learned that from his granddaddy? I believe so. He said, because God is the one that's meeting my needs. God is my protector. I need God in every area of my life. So I'm going to give him a tenth. Now let me go on to say this. God doesn't limit us to a tenth. There is the tenth, which is the tithe, and anything above the tithe is called what? Start with an O. Offering. Offering. Tithe and offering. Listen, folks, please hear me good. God is not trying to put us in bondage. What he's wanting to do is set us free. Well, I tell you one thing, I tell you, it's hard for me to tithe. It's hard for me to tithe. I barely have enough to get my bills paid now. Well, aren't you ready to get out of that mess? Aren't you ready to be free from that? Just go ahead and obey God. Obey God in the tithe and offering as well, because all things come from him. All good things come from him. Well, I tell you what, I just hate tithing. Well, what you need to do is change your attitude. Change your attitude. Your attitude's wrong. I tell you what, I tithe. I ain't getting nothing out of it. Ain't nothing happening, still in debt and blah, 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 blah. Change your attitude. Change your attitude. I say again, change your attitude. That's just like men on your wife's birthday. You know, You know she's looking for a gift from you. You go to the store, try to find something relatively cheap. And then on her birthday, you bring it to her. She's my helper. Bring it to her. I know you want this, so here, I hope you're satisfied. Now, I know that's harsh, and I thank God I don't do that, y'all. But that's the attitude sometimes we go before God with. Lord, I want to keep my money, but you asking for it, so him. Now leave me alone. You don't want him to do that. I need him. Every day of my life, I need him. I'll tell you something else. If he asks for 50, he gets it from me. Because he is my source in everything. And sometimes we just need to take a look on the inside, look at our attitude. What is our attitude like? Matter of fact, in the book of Corinthians, it says God loves a what? Cheerful giver. What is a cheerful giver? A cheerful giver is giving because they know they're blessing, they're pleasing God, and someone's being blessed as a result of their giving, and they also know that they are gaining because they give. They're not losing anything. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said, give, and it would be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. You got to keep your eyes on him. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Folks, I don't think I'm going to finish. But now, right quick, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. But folks, we should be shouting over this. God's on our side. God is for us. God is for us. God is on my side. Now, the tithe was before the Mosaic law, and we've seen it. And by the way, let me say something else. Two, I find it mighty interesting. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's in Genesis chapter 4, I think, Cain and Abel. I find it mighty interesting that when they came before the Lord, Abel brought his first fruits. He gave God his best, and God received and was pleased with his offering. Now, these are Adam's boys. This is before Abraham. Yet they are coming and giving to the Lord. Where do you reckon they learned that? Cain was like a lot of people. I'm going to give, all right. But he's going to take what I give him, and he better be satisfied. Cain brought his offering. And God rejected his offering. He received Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's. Cain got mad and committed the first murder that's mentioned in the Bible. He killed his own, he murdered his own brother. And it all had to do with giving. Giving was involved. And it cost him too. Folks, God wants us to act like him. Learn from him and act like him. I'm here to tell you, folks, God will never let you down. He already promised. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I take him at his word. Say that again. I take him at his word. Now let me read this, and then I'm going to have to quit because I've been going a good while already. Romans chapter 4. Did I tell you to turn there? Okay. I'll just begin reading at verse 1 here. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For, listen at this now, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was what? Accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And it says the same thing in Genesis chapter 15, when God gave Abraham a promise. And he told him to look up in the sky and see if you can count the stars. You know, and God was going into covenant. He had a covenant with Abraham. And God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Your seed's going to be blessed. I've called you to be a blessing. And Abraham believed him. Abraham believed him. When God told Abraham, when he was around 100 years of age, and, you know, I know science is steadily improving and working on things, but, you know, sometime 100-year-old men struggle. Some of y'all are a little slow, but you're getting there. His wife, Sarah, could not bear children. In other words, what I'm saying, folks, is Sarah couldn't bear children and Abraham was too old. But God promised him that his seed would be great. And Abraham what? Believed God. Abraham was a man of faith. What are we supposed to be today? People of faith. And it says, because Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Guess what? I am righteous. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Why? Because of my faith in him. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But yet, Abraham was a tither. What about me? And you don't have to turn there, but you can jot these references down as I'm getting ready to close. I believe I've been ministering about an hour, haven't I? My goodness, it's close to it, if not. But the word of God says, the just shall live by faith. That's talking about us today. Abraham was a man of faith on the other side of the law. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We become righteous through our because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 7, you can just jot these down as I get ready to close. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And you can even go back in the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Now, hold on to this, folks. I did not finish it. Here's what I'm going to do. I hope you can be back next week. If I do the whole thing, we'd be here another hour, and I don't want to do that. and I don't want y'all dozing on me. I want you to hear it. But now I want to tie it all in together so that you can see the whole picture. Okay? Now, I've established through the word of God that tithing was before the law, during the law, but is still in force after the law. It is. So I want to tie it all together next week. Hope you can be here. Hope you can be here. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word will never return unto you void. Hallelujah. May we have a mind, dear Lord. May we have a mind.